Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
It is the first day of October. The holidays are just around the corner, and I think the temperatures are finally dipping below 80 in New York City. I've seen the pumpkins out, so we know it's the holiday season. I'm actually still trying to dig out from under Hurricane Irma, but good things are happening. It's October 1st, so welcome to Mom Talk Radio. October 1st is also a very special day in my house because it is my oldest daughter's birthday, and I'm very happy for her. I'm going to shout out happy birthday, Madison. Although, sadly, this year, well, I'm proud of her, so it's not a sad occasion, but she's actually moved to Cameroon, Africa with the Peace Corps, and she's serving in the Peace Corps for the next 27 months. Hopefully, today, she will find in her suitcase somewhere the birthday cards and the little birthday gift that I snuck into her suitcase. I snuck her into her bags, Halloween card and Halloween decorations. I snuck in a Thanksgiving card, and I snuck in actually Christmas card and Christmas gifts. So I'm hoping she finds all of those, and each one says don't open until the respective date. That's what moms do, right? Because it takes 3 months to get something to Cameroon, apparently, and it has to be only in the size of an envelope. So I figured didn't really have 3 months, so I snuck it in her bag. So hopefully she'll find it. Happy birthday, Madison. I'm so proud of what you're doing, serving our country as a civilian in the Peace Corps. And I'm really proud of all of you guys, all the moms who found a little time in their day to do something for themselves and join us here on Mom Talk Radio. Great to have you. I want to thank our sponsors. We have a couple of them. You know, Pre-Mama is always here with sponsoring Mom Talk Radio. The Pre-Mama is the prenatal vitamin that you can actually drink. So it's a really good thing. But also, I want to give a shout out to Tasty Lee Tomatoes that gives a lot of attention to Mom Talk Radio and provides us with fantastic tomatoes, one of my favorite vegetables out there. And, you know, the holiday season, it's right around the corner, and it's that time of year where if you haven't bought those must-have toys, you're not going to find them in a month. So I went to New York City last week, and I went to a toy preview, and I have to tell you, there's some pretty cool toys out there. So I did a little list of what you should be looking for right now. There's, for girls, it's called Hamsters in the House, and really good toy. Tangle, it's a sculpture-type fidget toy. And then Pillow Pets has a whole new range of emojis. So you want to check those out as we go into the holiday season. We have a big show lined up for you today. And when we return, we have Kate Lund. She's the author of Bounce, Help Your Children Build Resilience and Thrive in School, Sports, and Life.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
You know, one of the things that I think is so important when it comes to children is building resilience and helping them thrive in every aspect of life. And we have with us today the author of a book called Bounce, Help Your Child Build Resilience and Thrive in School, Sports, and Life. Her name is Kate Lund, and she's a licensed clinical psychologist with specialized training and experience in medical psychology with hospitals associated with Harvard Medical School and others. And she's here to talk about a little bit of her expertise and help you help your child learn to bounce. So welcome, Kate, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for being here. You know, one of the things that I see as my children get older is that there's so many times in life where they need to manage frustrations and their emotions. And I would guess that that has to go along with that resilience that we need to build into their personalities and behaviors.
Exactly. That's a really, really good point. And what you mentioned, sort of this idea of managing frustration, tolerating emotion, that sort of thing, that's really at the core of resilience in my mind and as part of this model that I've created over time.
So talk to me. So what goes into that model?
Well, so really what we can do to help kids build resilience and be resilient in the face of the inevitable challenges that they're going to face in life, you know, in school and sports and beyond, is really to develop a strong social-emotional foundation, for one thing, to really be able to appreciate individual difference among others, individual difference in themselves, to develop this ability to, as we already mentioned, tolerate frustration, manage emotions. That's really, really key. Because if a child is not able to do that, it's going to be really challenging for them to get back up again and move forward following a challenge or a setback. And another big thing is this idea of learning early to navigate friendships and social pressures. And that's a really important area in terms of building resilience in kids.
Is this something that you start when they're babies, or, you know, if you wake up one day and you're like, my child just doesn't have this skill, can you start when they're in middle school or a teenager?
Sure. You know, we can always start to sort of introduce and model these principles from the get-go when kids are very, very young. You know, I'm writing about it in this context through the lens of sort of the elementary school student.
Okay.
However, the principles outlined in the book can really be extended across the lifespan. I guess it's a long-winded way of saying that it's great to start introducing these principles as early as possible, but at the same time, we need to realize that, you know, kids need to be sort of developmentally, cognitively in a place where they can kind of start to integrate and build on the early principles to really get them developed over time.
It's all so interesting because it just seems to work with so many different characteristics. What about courage and facing fears? Can you talk about a little bit about those two characteristics?
Sure. And that's really a big piece of, you know, building resilience in kids. It's this idea of having the courage to face their fears, sort of do things that they see as difficult or impossible at the get-go, and then with some encouragement and some backing to take risks, take that step forward when maybe they don't want to, it really sort of builds in them this idea that, maybe that is possible for me. You know, gosh, I fell down the first time, but, you know, I had the courage to get back up again, try the same thing from perhaps a different angle. And doing that over time really helps kids develop this sort of resilient foundation. And we can really help to help kids start to do this kind of thing, take risks naturally by encouraging them from the get-go to push through their fears. And really what this does is this helps the child see what's possible for them and then figure out innovative and ways of doing things by integrating this idea of flexible thinking and, you know, thinking outside of the box, that sort of thing.
Is it worthwhile for us to point out those moments where maybe our children, I guess, in the moment, look for those moments where they did conquer a fear or and actually talk about it at that moment rather than letting them just or hoping that they discover it on their own?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a big piece of it. It's a big piece of sort of that supportive framework that we can offer our kids, you know, by pointing out, wow, you did a really great job with that. Remember how when you were afraid to take that step forward or whatever mm-hmm. the situation might be, absolutely a great idea to point it out. Just so that the child, you know, recognizes and can start to integrate that they have that ability, that they are able to move forward even when something seems scary or out of reach.
Yeah. So how do moms find you and where do they find the book?
Well, the book is available on Amazon in both an ebook and a hard copy format, soft cover version. And it's also available to be ordered through local bookstores around the country.
Great.
And I also have a website, Puget Sound Sports Psychology, where folks can learn more about the book as well as more about what I do in this work.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your expertise. It's a really important topic, and I think it's one that we wouldn't typically just say, okay, I've got to focus on this with my child. So thank you, Kate. Kate Lund, and the book is called Bounce, Help Your Child Build Resilience and Thrive in School, Sports, and Life. And as a mom, I know that those are qualities that we all want our children to grow up. Gosh, aren't there so many qualities that we want out of our children? You know, like one day I almost tried to make a list of the top five or the top 10. And it's really interesting. Try to do that. Sit down and do a quality audit on those qualities that you're instilling in your children and see if they're aligned with the ones that you really want them to have. When we return, we're going to turn the spotlight on one mom who's doing amazing things with her blog, and we're going to talk about her coaching practice.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
We're turning today's spotlight on one mom who's doing pretty amazing things in the coaching world. She is the mom of a 7-year-old, and when she's not busy running after a child, she is the coach at coachformoms.com. That's the number 4. She's Jennifer Pitsetsky, and she is here to share a little bit about her coaching practice. And welcome, Jennifer, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me a little bit about the focus of your coaching site.
All moms are superheroes, and I am a total superhero as well. I am busy with a 7-year-old kid, building my own practice. Life is busy. Just the regular stuff is busy, and then there's all the extras that happen sometimes, like the internet goes out or smoke detector needs to be changed. All that extra stuff builds up. And I want to support moms throughout this time. So what I focus on is giving self-care tips for moms, and most of I basically do that for free. I have tons of self-care stuff on my website that I'm happy to share. And then I also have a practice where I coach moms through menopause and perimenopause, because that can be such a hard time for us, where so many things change in our life. And I want to support moms through that.
We hear a lot about coaching practices and such, but can you tell us a little bit about, like, what is a coach?
It's like having an impartial person that you can talk to who will listen and ask you amazing questions and help you figure out for yourself how you want to go forward. So here's one of my favorite examples. You can have an amazing best friend, right? But mm-hmm. that best friend or your husband or your partner is not necessarily unbiased, right? They have their own interest in who they see you as and what they want you to do with your life or how they want you to support them. But a coach is impartial, and we really have the opportunity to step back and let the person figure out for themselves who they want to be and what they want their life to look like. It's an amazing opportunity. I've been on both sides as a coach and as a client, and I've learned so much in both roles.
And is it someone like you talk to every day, or and how do you do it when you're doing it remotely?
Good question. So it's I personally don't work with someone daily, but perhaps weekly or monthly or every other week. Basically, in my practice, I let the client drive the bus, and whatever works for the client in terms of schedule and finances, I want to be available to that person. Some coaches have more of a defined package where you talk with them weekly or every other week for 6 months, and it's more of a defined long-term package, and that could be a great option for people as well. In my practice right now, I'm pretty flexible depending on what my person, my client wants, how I can serve them best.
So what do you think is I guess, the biggest challenge for moms when it comes to just, I guess, doing all of those things that you were talking about and in life, you know, that you have your list, it seems like, every day, but how do you help them get around getting stuck there?
I think we have to make self-care a priority. If we don't take care of ourselves, then we're not going to be able to juggle all the stuff that we juggle throughout the day. It gets really busy, and self-care doesn't need to be a 3-hour thing every day, but it can be 5 minutes, and it can be an amazing 5 minutes where you write in your journal or you breathe or you go on a walk or do whatever rejuvenates you so that then you can do the crazy day that you have ahead and hopefully find joy in the day that you have too. And that's where a coach can be a real support, right, to help you map out your day and your time. Before we go, I definitely want to correct the website you gave. Thank you so much. My website is coachingformoms.com. The 4 is a number. And I've actually created a special page for your listeners at coachingformoms.com/momtalk. I put together a bundle of my 4 favorite freebies for your listeners.
Great, great. Well, we'll have a link to that as well. coachingformoms.com on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jennifer, and letting us hear about all the amazing things that you're doing. When we return, we're going to turn our attention to the author of a book about Let's Make a Contract, Getting Your Teen Through High School and Beyond.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
Having teens is that time of your life where, I don't know, people try to scare you. It's actually one of the funnest times for me and my children. And I think having the right empowerment with the right content, the right information is important. So that's why we have Dr. Ann Schiebert with us today. She spent 25 years working with teens, young adults, and families in the area of chemical dependency, codependency, dual diagnosis, and trauma. She has 2 books out in the series. The series is called Let's Make a Contract. And the first 2 books are Let's Make a Contract, Getting Your Teen Through High School and Beyond, and Let's Make a Contract, Getting Your Teen Through Substance Abuse. I want to welcome Dr. Ann Schiebert to Mom Talk Radio. Hi, Ann.
Hi, and thank you so much, Maria, for having me.
So I really appreciate you, because I think that we get a whole bunch of information when our kids are babies and toddlers, but then as they get older, somehow either we're not finding the information or the information kind of lags off. So I'm really excited that you've created a series of information. One of the things that you talk about is preemptive parenting. Can you tell me what that means?
I absolutely can. I came up with this idea thinking about toddlers and how we teach our little children, and we do preemptive parenting. We teach them not to touch the hot stove. Mm-hmm. And that seems intuitive to most parents, but as our kids age, we sort of lose that idea for whatever reason. We get busy. We think that children should know what they're supposed to do, which, according to brain development research, is just not true. And right. I think it's so important to get ahead of our kids, to give them a wisdom base with which to make decisions, because they don't have it on their own.
Well, that totally makes sense. It's really interesting. So when you... there's moments in the teen years where you think you're like, you're doing okay. And I kind of always think about it that like your kid is on a fence and they're riding through their teen years. And every now and then you kind of see them like fall into one side and you got to kind of pull them back up. And I have to tell you, there was moments when I'm like, am I pulling too soon? Am I not pulling enough? How do you know what to do in like allowing them enough, I guess, enough rope, but you don't want them to hang themselves, you know? So how do you balance that?
Well, we want to respect them as people, because the minute they feel disrespected and demeaned, they will oftentimes get oppositional. Mm-hmm. So what I have found that's worked in my clinical years really well is getting ahead and discussing possible situations. For example, what would you do if someone offered you a marijuana joint? Mm-hmm. And this is a situation which most teens are faced with. But we go on it, we want to intervene on it before the offer happens. And then right. we have a discussion, and we have a value discussion about what our family values are regarding that situation, and we give them a choice in what they would do. It's a conversation. If we find out later that they have disregarded our conversation, then it's time to sit down with them and attempt to devise consequences for making bad decisions. Because we are our kids' life support. And when I say that, we usually think of a hospital apparatus saving lives. We are that. But we are the support through their life. And if we don't help them make good decisions or structure good decisions which lead to their successes, then we're not being their support.
Mm-hmm. So... typically, I would think, like, let's take that scenario. You know, your child, your son has told you all along, oh, you know, I would say I'm not interested or blah, blah, whatever they say, right? And then the day comes where you discover, oh my gosh, there's a pipe in his room or whatever.
Yes.
Typically, I think the action of a parent would be you take away the car keys or you react by restricting in some way, whatever it is, restricting their social life, restricting what they have. What is the correct behavior on our part?
So that's like parenting after the fact. And what I like to do is set up a situation in which it becomes the teen's choice. So if the teen knows the consequence before they're faced with making a decision, then it's their choice. And I will give you a true clinical story. This child did go through this with their parents about, okay, what am I going to do if one of my friends offers me a joint? And the parents said, well, that is really against our family values because it will impede your brain development, and we're here to keep you safe. And we know this is going to happen. So after discussing what the teen thought, the parents said, well, if you decide to go ahead and smoke a joint or have a hit off of a joint, then the consequence has to be, and they thought of a really creative one, and it was coming to a recovery group with me to drop in to see what addiction looks like. that'll be what you're choosing. So they created a situation in which it was a success, because both ways, it was a success if the team used their wisdom, and it was a success still if they phrased it so that the teen chose to get more education about the topic.
Oh, I get it. I get it. And I see and what you're saying about doing it before the behavior.
Exactly. And for a teen especially, and for little kids, the consequence has to be in relationship with the deed. In other words, I can't ground you for life because you were late. So right. A lot of teens say, I've just been grounded and there's so many punishments, I give up. I'm not doing anything you want. So we have to make it reasonable, and we have to include the teen. Now, Maria, there's some times when the teen says, I'm not going to do any of this. I'm just not. And then we have to say, well, then I guess you don't want any input in this, but here's what's going to happen. It's my job as your parent to keep you safe and to help you make good decisions. You may not like it, but I love you, and that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I had the situation recently where I was told by one of my teenagers, you went through my room and that's my safe zone. And I had to say to him, hey, you know what? I'm sorry, but it's your safe zone until I feel like you're unsafe. And, you know, it's my job to keep you safe. So many awesome topics that we could talk about. I want to just really quickly, we're going to have you back because we're out of time. I want to let everyone know the book is Let's Make a Contract, Getting Your Teen Through High School and Beyond. And there's two books in the series. And do you have a website real quickly before we have to say goodbye?
I do. It's letsmakeacontract.com.
Okay, well, we'll put it on Mom Talk Radio, and I'll make a contract with you that we'll have you back. So thank you so much for your words of wisdom. And when we return, we're going to be talking with Lori Wulk. She's the author of Girls Just Want to Have Likes, How to Raise Confident Girls in the Face of Social Media Madness.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
There are so many of us that have daughters, and we hear the conversation all the time. Oh, I got this many likes. And then you think to yourself, okay, your self-confidence should not be based on how many likes you got on a picture. Well, Lori Wulk is here. She's the author of Girls Just Want to Have Likes, How to Raise Confident Girls in the Face of Social Media Madness, a madness that I live just about every day. She's an educator and motivational speaker focusing on parents, adolescents, and social media. So welcome, Lori, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me, Maria. I'm really excited to talk with you and your listeners and share a little piece of what I know and how I can help.
Let's start with the thing that drives me crazy. We cannot go anywhere where it's just selfie after selfie after selfie after selfie. And sometimes I just want to say, are you kidding me? How many times can you take your picture? And
Help me understand. This is very common. So let me just say that we need our kids to live in the real world as well as this alternate universe that is online. And the sooner we can get comfortable with it, meaning us parents to get on board, start to understand what social media is all about, why they love it so much, and accept it, that it's here to stay, but also teach those skills about how to live in the real world, then we're going to all be less naggy, and more straightforward and comfortable that, okay, this is their new world. How do I help them navigate it? And a key thing is to have a family media agreement. So I would say, don't worry about the nagging, because you're going to have one document that allows you to set some rules based on different ages and what you think and they think is appropriate. So when they have got their head in their phone and it's dinner time, you just point to the agreement and you say, you know, there are no phones at dinner. Boom, conversation done. We give too much time and lip service to just disliking it, and I wish it'd go away and get your head out of your phone.
Yes. So
clear rules and boundaries.
Let's start with how you actually do that. Like, so the two of you sit down and you determine what you guys can live with.
Yeah, you say, hey, Penelope, I was listening to this great radio show, and they said that one great way that families can start to reconnect and stop focusing on how much the kids are always on the phone is to set up a family media agreement where we both sit down and we're going to go point by point through different rules and different ways of social behavior of how to treat other people when online. And we're going to go back and forth. I'm going to listen to you, why you want to be able to plug it in at night in your room. And you're going to listen to me, why I think that you're not going to be sleeping as well, wondering what's happening on your Snapchat streaks because your phone's in your room. And we're going to come to a common place. And I ultimately, being your best cheerleader and knowing more, having been around the block, will ultimately make the choice. But every month we're going to revisit it. And you've got the opportunity to be the little business mogul or lawyer that you want to be and come back to me and say, you know what? I think I'm ready to have it back in my room now. Right?
That sounds great.
Wouldn't let our kids go into the pantry or, you know, if they're older, you know, go into our liquor cabinets and say, have at it. But for some reason, social media feels so unfamiliar to us that we just don't know how to just set up some clear rules and boundaries, point to them when they're not being adhered to, and move forward. Just really live in both worlds and accept that they're here to stay.
So what do you do about your kids when they set up secret social media accounts? Because, like, you know, you can follow your kids, but then suddenly you just, you know, and we only have 2 minutes. So can you give me the short answer here? Because this is important stuff.
Yeah. So, well, here's the first thing. You need to try to keep it big picture. So kids were doing things the parents didn't know about since the beginning of time. And so this is a very normal adolescent behavior, tween, teens, whatever it is, to try to keep something private from your parents. What is scary about it is that it's 24/7 and it's out there for the big world to see. So you want to, with that social media family agreement, talk about kindness rules and helping them figure out how to self-monitor themselves. You're not going to be there on their Finsta account the same way you're not there on the playground when maybe they didn't include someone or they bragged that they had a birthday party that they weren't invited to. So we want to go back to the big picture values, what we're afraid of with these Finstas, what values we want to make sure our kids are both taking in as their own and displaying to the outside world, and focus there instead of, I got to be able to see your Finsta account. What's this thing about a hidden account? Focus on the big picture values, raising competent, caring, kind human beings, and get rid of the fear of all this social media and what are they doing I don't see. It's getting us nowhere, right? Nowhere.
Right. Absolutely. So I want to make sure that because you have so much wisdom in this, I want to make sure everyone hears your website. It is Lori, and that's L-A-U-R-I-E, Wolk, W-O-L-K.com. We have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. Really, really great stuff. Pick up the book. It's just great information. Thank you, Lori, so much for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to turn our attention to positive thinking with our children.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
Doing some positive thinking with David Essel. He is the author of Positive Thinking Will Never Change Your Life, but this book will. The Myth of Positive Thinking, The Reality of Success. It's a number one bestseller. He's a counselor, master life coach. He's done a whole bunch more with celebrities, and I'm excited to have him with us today. So welcome, David, to Mom Talk Radio.
Oh, Maria, great to be with you. Thanks so much for having me a part of your show.
Well, thank you. You know, we've been talking about teens and tweens today, and so it only would be appropriate to ask you, you know, how can moms teach their teens and tweens how to express their emotions more? And maybe in the right way, because sometimes it's the wrong emotions.
Oh, I know. Well, you know what? Let's look at it this way, Maria. There's no wrong emotions.
Oh, there you go.
You know, like, that's one of the biggest things we can tell moms is that when a child is angry, allow them to be angry. When they're guilty or ashamed, allow them. When they're excited, obviously allow them. But, you know, we have a tendency to allow the good emotions, quote unquote, and to try to dispel the bad ones. But that's where we get into trouble as parents. And, you know, I can tell you, in raising multiple children and working as a counselor for 28 years, Maria, that parents often don't want their kids to express anger or hurt or sadness after someone breaks up with them, their best friend leaves them for another clique. So we try to take care of these kids' emotions by making well-meaning statements like, oh, you know what, Billy wasn't a good enough man for you or a boy for you anyway, you'll find someone much better. Or, you know, that just tells you Samantha's true colors. If she left you and went with someone else, then that's not a good friend. But instead, Maria, what we need to do is to encourage the kids to say, you know, like, what's creating your sadness? Why are you so angry? Why are you so resentful? And then be quiet. Don't give them answers. Allow them to express the emotions we would rather not hear.
Very interesting. And I think the listening part is so important. And that's the part that we always forget, right?
Yeah. And you know, it's listening. And then the second part is asking questions. So instead of saying you shouldn't be that upset, you shouldn't be that mad, you shouldn't be that fill in the blank, that sad, you know, which parents do all the time because they don't want to feel their children's pain. So one of the greatest ways to get away from feeling your child's sadness is to tell them, put on a happy face. It doesn't work, but at least the parent doesn't have to feel the sadness. And that's the root of incorrect communication with children, whether we're talking about preteens, tweens, teens, you know, it's allowing them to be who they are and to feel what they're feeling.
Yeah, you know, one of the ways that I have gotten around that, and because, you know, it's easy to fall in that trap, but sometimes I think about what I was like as a teenager, and I try to focus on things, you know, breaking up with your high school sweetheart and how that helped to create something positive in my life. And it makes it a little bit more tolerable, or it makes it me stop and say, you know what, that was such a good experience when I broke up with that guy. If I jump in now, I'm going to deprive her of that opportunity to grow. And when I think and I relate it to myself, it seems like it's easier for me to take a step back and say, oh, you know what? It's going to be okay if she cries all night because she'll remember it later on in a positive way.
Maria, that is gold. I hope everyone listening takes that advice. Don't shut your child down. Allow them to express. And if it's 7 days of sadness, 21 days of sadness, well, unless they're hurting themselves, like, every child processes at a different speed. Mm-hmm. So what you're just saying is perfect. If the parent can step back and in their mind say, you know, at some point they'll understand the lesson. At some point they will get it. But right now they can't. Their brain is flooded with anger or sadness. That is brilliant what you just said.
Well, I hope it works because I got four of them to, you know, lay it out there. Unfortunately, it took me to number four to like realize that that's the approach I need to take. But so we only have a minute left. I want to make sure, because you have such valuable information, that we get the website where folks can find you, David. Where is that? And we'll put it on Mom Talk Radio.
Sure, Maria, it's talkdavid.com, TALKDavid.com, talkdavid.com. There is a ton of free information there, years of blogs, all kinds of articles to help people to move to the next level. And plus, there's a link to our YouTube channel that has over 1,000 free YouTube videos on personal growth.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We have a link to that on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you guys for joining us and finding some time in your busy week. We're into October, so let's do it together. We'll talk to you next week here on Mom Talk.